In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, it records one time when Jesus sent out his disciples on a mission to the neighboring towns. Now, he knew they would face violent opposition. He told them, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves." It's surprising and it's unsettling picture, because the shepherd's job is to protect his sheep from wolves. But here the good shepherd deliberately sends his servants into danger. Sheep among the wolves are defenseless against the wolf's sharp teeth and claws. I think the picture of power and savagery against weakness is also in the frailty is for many Christians a depiction of the world that we live in today. It was the world in Psalm 83. Wow, when you read that psalm and you're listening to the psalm, you think, oh my gosh. Well, the lament of Asaph in Psalm 83 is familiar to the readers of the psalm because Israel's enemies are threatening to destroy them even today, even after they became a nation again in 1948. But the psalmist begs God to come and save them. But God remains silent. You know I like the buts and ifs. He remains God of how he saved them in the past. And he reminds them. This time, though, he recalls some of God's powerful victories. In the days of the judges, God defeated the Canaanites. And when Deborah was judge, and the Midianites when Gideon was leader of the army, and then finally he prays for the humiliating overthrow of these nations in verses 13 through 18. Wow, I think this psalm provides us with two truths to cling to as we live in this perilous world. First, I think the psalmist is acknowledging that Israel's enemies are God's enemies. And when the nations plot against Israel, they're plotting against God and God's people. You know, we're part of God's people. Jesus was Jewish. He was raised understanding the Psalms and all the other things. So we are a part of understanding this perilous world that we live in. On another occasion, though, Jesus sent his disciples out on a mission trip, and he told them, "Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." Luke chapter 10, verse 16. So what was true of Israel is true of the church today. To attack the people of God is to attack God himself. Secondly, I think there will be a day when God's enemies will be terrified by his judgment, Psalm 83, verse 15, because the ultimate purpose is not for vengeance, but so that they will know that you alone are the Most High over all of the world. As Christians, I think it should be our desire to see God's enemies repent of their evil ways and then joyfully submit to the Lord. Now, we proclaim the wrath to come so that unbelievers may serve the true and living God. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. And there's a story of the American Coast Guard. I like this story. Who was sent out into the hurricane to rescue a ship that was breaking up just off the coast. And the captain told his men to prepare to go out to sea. But one sailor replied, Captain, we may never come back. The captain says, "Son, you don't have to come back. You have to go out." Think about that. God calls us to serve him in a hostile and dangerous world, whatever the cost. Wow. You know, I think all of us has experience in what's being attacked sometimes are referred to as wolves in Psalm 83, verse 2. You know, the scriptures even says that the devil's out there trying to destroy us like a roaring lion, and sometimes he does a pretty good job. But I think we can learn from Psalm 83 about how to respond in such times. Yeah. Why would God's enemies be ashamed and dismayed in verse 17? What is shameful about opposing God? Well, I think sometimes as we look at even our modern day where we're trying to get God out of schools and get God out of this, and oh, you can't do this, you can't pray in front of an abortion clinic, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. You know, God really doesn't exist. And, well, I don't know. I'd rather be on the side of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to do what I can. And when we do that, and we understand, and we accept Christ into our lives, and we have the peace that passes all understanding, and we understand how we handle things and go through trials and tribulations, and God, through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit, gives us understanding and victory through His Word, the Bible, and that we can have hope. Hope. Can you imagine going through this life without hope? I can't, because that's what keeps me going. And while I'm here, I'm learning. When you join man's army, you heard me say this many times, but it's so true. When you join man's army, 6 to 8 weeks worth of basic training, and you're out, and you're doing the thing. But when you finally accept God in your life and you join the Lord's army, hear it, church, you're in basic training until He comes for us, or we go home to be with Him. Either way, we're in training. How to learn all this stuff in life. How to be overcomers. That's what the book of Revelation is all about, is overcomers. So, I want to be an overcomer, and you want to be an overcomer, and we have the message and the keys to the kingdom. His name is Jesus, and you can be an overcomer. And it's our responsibility to share that with others, one soul at a time. I think sometimes when we think about Jesus sent them all out two by two and everything, and we think, oh, well, we got to have a big evangelistic event and all that. No, we don't have to. Nope. One soul at a time. Could be a neighbor. Could be somebody that you know. Could be your own child that's sharing that hope of God's love and grace that's available to us through our friend Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, that took away the sins of the world. You know, and He hung on the cross, and He cried out, my God, why have Thou forsaken me? I think that's why He felt that brief separation from God, because God couldn't be in the presence of sin, and there the sins of the world was on His Son's shoulder. But then Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And the forgiveness of God's grace upon all of us was given. Because whenever He gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple was rent in two, giving us direct access to the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ. We can now go and talk to God ourselves. And He can talk to us, and we can understand it by saying, Holy Spirit, teach me. I need to know. And the grace and the love of what Jesus did for us. Because you know what? He died on the cross for all. Hear that. Yeah, now those of us who become Christians, we know that's us. And those of us who don't know or whatever, but He died for all. His entire creation. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear the hope and the love that God's given to us through Jesus Christ. And it's for all. The price has been paid for all. Only accept it. Amen. Well, God loves you, and so do we. And we're grateful that you tune in to the Word is the Way to Life podcast. And we hope and pray that you're having a good day, and I hope you were encouraged by these many series of going through the Psalms, and so we're grateful. God loves you, and so do I. Have a good day.